Thank you, Andre. I see this is a very different audience from the one we had yesterday. I mean, different people. And so what I want to do is kind of frame a little bit the introduction that I gave yesterday. I'm not going to say the same thing for those of us that were here and then, what is that? No, it won't be the same thing. I actually worked last night and wrote something new. Also kind of touching upon some of the issues that were raised in conversation yesterday. For those of you that were not here yesterday, eventually in the next couple of months, I guess the material will be available online on the We Who Feel Differently website. It was a really, really incredible set of presentations and conversation of very high level, and I think it would be great for you to go back to that material. Because I am exhausted, to say the least, I am going to rely on the page again. It will be really, really brief. And again, what I'm going to try to do is kind of sum up some of the things that I had been thinking about when making this project and that were touched upon yesterday throughout the presentations. So here I go. Yesterday, we were confronted with the way institutions control and regulate our bodies. We heard stories of subjection to the gender binary, to medicine, and to cultural prejudice. We were told about the insurmountable fear that overcomes society regarding things that exist in between, things that present themselves neither as either or. Being in between, or asserting one's difference for that matter, was also presented to us as an opportunity rather than as a social condemnation. Difference is a way of being in the world, and as such, it represents a prospect of individual and collective empowerment, social and political enrichment, and freedom. Freedom implies that sovereignty, the sovereignty to govern oneself. Being human is being beyond parameters, being without sex or gender constraints. This is what I would call feeling differently. Feeling differently entails embracing sexual and gender difference politically, beyond the narrow frameworks of identity politics or simplistic narratives of equality. Feeling differently to me represents embracing our relationship to the commons, forming our communities, developing our potential for collectivity, and working collaboratively to radically change the conditions that oppress us. Feeling differently is then, within the framework of this symposium, feeling with agency and self-determination. Yesterday, presenters demonstrated how liberating the use of our voices is to articulate our positions, which is a key step towards decolonizing our bodies, to reconstitute our identifications, and to reimagine our desires. From the activist gesture to the artistic expression, from the radical intervention to the subtle reconsideration of the law, the use of our voice, or the breaking of the tyranny of silence surrounding our experience in the world, is a way of asserting our presence as citizens of democracy. The larger We Who Feel Differently project attempts to address these questions. The project is an archive and a platform. It archives interviews conducted with LGBTQ activists, academics, artists, and others in Colombia, Norway, South Korea, and the United States, as representative stories of the many histories and developments of sexual politics internationally. Although the archive is limited to 50 interviews, I believe it may represent the nuanced nature and development of the movements. The archive is also a platform to hold these kinds of events. The project was conceived as a discursive and physical side of interaction to propose alternative models to the dominant rhetoric of the LGBT equality and to form community around these issues. We Who Feel Differently is one of a series of art projects in which I have directly attempted to question the political construction of the idea of citizenship and of democratic participation. I have intended to critically demonstrate how the telling of counter-narratives, counter-actions, and self-determination are in fact sides of democratic exchange. I have also encountered, however, the impenetrability of the system as it pertains to its ideas of social inclusion. Recognizing social sexual difference as one of the most terrible fears in contemporary society, it is clear to me that homosexuality and transsexuality, intersexuality, etc., threaten masculinity and its ruling agency. As I mentioned yesterday during my introduction, we live in a time of incredible conformity. Where is our collective feeling of queer urgency located today? I believe the pioneers of the sexual liberation movements would be appalled by the conservative turn of queer politics. We've learned to assimilate and to conform to those very things that our predecessors wholeheartedly and at times even violently fought against: patriarchy, militarism, the violence of the nuclear family. Today, our politics beg for inclusion in those violent institutions and critically, and we largely forget to think that our difference is precisely an opportunity to challenge and change these systems for profound patterns of homophobic, transphobic, classist, and racist discrimination. I want to imagine a queer politic of liberation, a queer politic of freedom and emancipatory power, the construction of a just world for queer lives, not determined by those enamored with white, middle-class, bourgeois power. My position could be dismissed as utopic, but quite honestly, I can't imagine anything else. Being queer to me represents a unique opportunity to defy this system, which has so violently excluded us, to reimagine and construct power as flexible and open, and as an open space of interaction and communication. This is why I have chosen to work from within the field of art, because art has allowed me to produce my own forms of gestures and communication. And that's a quote from David Wojnarowicz's Postcards from America, which I used yesterday in the introduction. So I would like to welcome all the wonderful speakers that have agreed to participate in this symposium today, and thank the wonderful speakers that spoke yesterday. I think art is going to be one of the key subjects of some of the speakers today. And I have to say that I'm really humbled by your presence here. All of you have been a great source of inspiration. Thank you, of course, to the new museum staff, to Travis Chamberlain, Gabriel Einshon, Joshua Edwards, Shannon Browser, Kelsey Womack, Richard Espinosa, Audrey Hope, Derek Wright, Duncan, I don't know your last name, but you're here, and Victor Manning. You've made me feel so welcome here at the museum, and it's been really great to work with you and see how hard you work. And I would very especially like to thank Unjiju and Ryan Inoue, the new museum curators, for inviting me to develop this project here at the museum. And of course, I would like to thank Regan Trucks very especially and introduce her to you, who's going to introduce our keynote speaker, Jose Esteban Munoz. Thank you so much, and enjoy the day.